Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, June 3rd, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have our weekly discussion of the energy market with Harry Cooney of Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. In agricultural news, a WTO appeals court has ruled against the U.S. cotton industry. Also, the U.S. Senate is considering capping greenhouse gases. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll give you the latest on growing conditions in Illinois and weather conditions across the Corn Belt. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company, ADM, resourceful by nature.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, July wheat, 788 down 33. September, 802 and a half down 32 and a half. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 750 and a half down 32. September, 767 down 31 and three quarters. December, 789 and three quarters down 30 and a half. July corn, 608 down 7 and 3 quarters. September, 621 and a quarter down 7 and 3 quarters. December, 636 and a quarter down 7. March of 2009, 651 down 6 and a quarter. July beans, 1359 and a half down 6. August, 1365 down 5 and 3 quarters. September, 1356 down 5. November, 1353 and 3 quarters down 4 and 3 quarters. July soybean meal, $3.47 down $4. July soybean oil, $61.04 down $66. June live cattle, 94.32 and a half, down 107 and a half. August, 125 down 57 and a half. August feeders, 113.77 and a half, up 7 and a half. September, 114.90 up 12 and a half. June lean hogs, 76.02 and a half, down 30. And those are the settlement prices on Tuesday from Kansas City and Chicago. Let's go ahead and look at outside markets for you. July crude oil at 124.50 is down 3.26. August, 125.20 down 285. The June ethanol contract at 235 is off 5.8. The July 230 off 10.2. July natural gas 12.20 up 231. The July RBOB, 334.25, is down 482. July heating oil, 363.20, is down 90. July propane, not trading at the moment. However, the settlement price on July silver was 16.83, down 7.5 cents. And the August gold contract settled at 885.50, down $11.50. Ed Kieser tells us a tornado watch is in effect for much of central and southern Indiana until 7 o'clock Eastern time. Tonight, mostly cloudy with areas of rain and thunderstorms, lows ranging from 55 in far northern Illinois to 72 degrees in the far south. Tomorrow in southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana, a chance of thunderstorms early, otherwise mostly sunny and hot. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs ranging from around 70 along the Chicago lakefront to 92 degrees in far southern Illinois. And an urban and small stream flood advisory is in effect for McLean County until 2:30 p.m. and for central Macon County until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Joining us now for our look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
And a wild one it's been, David.
Particularly as we were going into later afternoon and into the closing bell, and I suspect that the CFTC announcement as well as comments from Bernanke might have contributed to the downside today.
Yeah, Bernanke, of course, commenting he didn't feel that we'd probably be lowering the interest rates in the future, which added some strength to the dollar. That's one thing we sort of like to hear. It's only up 37 cents, but that is a positive there. The CFTC's comments sort of took us by surprise in respect that how the market reacted to them. It didn't seem like they were throwing down any big rulings against the fund, large index funds, or anything to really restrict them, largely other than they did dismiss the fact that they might even increase margins. But being they're considered hedgers, they don't have speculative limits. So we were a little bit surprised to see the sell-off that came along with those announcements. We are very happy to see the announcements where they're going to try to review the fact that the agriculture lending institutions may be working with the Board of Trade to make it easier for farmers to become hedgers and maybe make available some funds for strict hedgers. That was one of the positive things, because that was one of the things that really run us into trouble this last year as far as elevators, producers, and farmers as running out of margin money when this market took off to the topside.
As you look at what came out from the CFTC, what were some of the pertinent features of what they're trying to do?
Well, they're going to require some more detailed information from index traders and swaps dealers and review some of the classifications along those lines. They are going to withdraw the proposal of the speculative position limits be enlarged on some of the funds. They are going to have some data gathering that they look for examining the policies and how they are, and a little more transparencies into some of the over-the-counter things that go on along with it. So, and clearing for agricultural swaps, the commission has tasked the CFTC to develop a staff to propose, or for the proposal of allowing the clearing of agricultural swaps, which should allow grain merchandisers and farmers a little better chance to manage the risk and maybe some base risk. And one of the things they did mention was the convergence factor, and we preached upon that on our show a couple times, and I know on Saturdays on Commodity Week, of how the convergence between the cash and the futures, and especially looking at the wheat market now, Dave, where we're seeing $1.70 to $2 basis between things, and we'd like to see a little closer between the futures and the cash market somehow.
So what do we take away then from trading today? Do we call it a one-day wonder given the outside influences, or is there more there for us to chew on?
Well, I mean, there was mixed signals here today. We were trading beans 10 to 15 cents higher, with crude oil down anywhere from $2 to $3.50, the dollar increasing in value. Generally, the outside markets acting that way call for a lower trade. We did end up that way, and then the CFTC announcement that everybody seemed to be scared of, that basically there wasn't much teeth to it as far as what we see looking here. We hope that some good things can come out of it, but it sure wasn't what some of the people had feared as limiting positions for the index funds, or for having them, you know, maybe some forced liquidation of something along the way that would kill this market. So I think it's just a very nervous market, and we're in a broad trading range right now.
What do you make of the wheat trade today?
Wheat trade today, three things. I think, number one, it's wheat harvest time starting out in the south. Number two, the yields and quality has been good so far. And number three, that we saw some decent rains in Australia, which we, you know, it's been very dry, and they've been very worried about trying to get some of their crops started down there. So all those things combined, why I think that we saw a down market that was also hit by the crude oil price, by the dollar, and just the way that after the CFTC announcement come out, that things continue to fall out of bed there a little bit.
Still, after the day of trading, we didn't reach last week's low for the move, which was at 7:30 and three quarters. So are you looking for follow-through here tomorrow, or do we kind of go sideways from here on out for a while?
Well, I think, you know, as far as the wheat goes here, we're going to, you know, continue to look at the situation, see how the harvest progresses, and see how the cash market comes in here, and how the basis does tonight as far as at the Gulf, Dave. But we would think that for a while here we're going to see if we can test that lows. If we can't take them out, why then, you know, maybe a little bounces too.
What do you make of the technical side of the corn market today?
Well, you know, we went up. We tested the upper 640 levels. You know, D's corn got up to 646. You know, we back off, and we're down at 36. Well, like we were talking about, as long as we stay under that 48 to 50 level and stay above the 30 level, why, we're somewhat in a sideways trading range here, just trying to figure out how the planting situation is going to end up and what this weather is going to do to us.
It does look like open interest is beginning to pick up.
You know, there was more volume today, a lot heavier day than yesterday, and we're starting to get some people interested in some in owning and some in selling this market, and that's what she needs, people on both sides.
What other pieces of looking at the market would you like to talk about today?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing that we do want to reemphasize is just that you brought up, Dave, and that was, you know, Bernanke talking about maybe putting a little strength under this dollar, and I think that's something we need to do, is to start to stabilize the American dollar along the way. And I think that it does give us a little bit of hope here that these markets just won't fall out of bed at the moment because of the way the CFTC is trying to handle things. It's not a panic situation on some great big announcement they made.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thank you, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, a World Trade Organization appeals court has ruled against U.S. cotton subsidies. The WTO says the U.S. has failed to comply with a previous WTO verdict. The ruling opens the way for Brazil to seek WTO approval for more than $1 billion a year in sanctions on U.S. imports. A spokesperson for U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab says the U.S. is very disappointed by the decision. The appeal body backed findings on almost all counts issued in last December's ruling, confirming that U.S. marketing loan and countercyclical programs had led to an increase in U.S. cotton production and exports that depressed world prices. The Senate began debate yesterday on landmark climate change legislation. The bill would cap greenhouse gases and require a nearly 70% cut by mid-century. The measure would also establish a federal cap-and-trade system for greenhouse gases. A new study sponsored by the Fertilizer Institute suggests the bill would increase production costs for grains by as much as $12 billion a year. Ford West is president of the Fertilizer Institute.
This legislation, it's been estimated, has the potential to cost our economy $6.7 trillion over a 50-year period. The baseline for 2020, that's going to jump about $60 an acre and has a potential to be increased as much as $100 an acre, depending on what may occur when this legislation becomes law.
The White House says it will veto the measure. Bush administration officials say the bill would hurt the economy, impose costly regulations, and create conflicts with U.S. trading partners. Archer Daniels Midland Company is criticizing the Grocery Manufacturing Association for its campaign, saying ethanol is responsible for the recent run-up in food prices. ADM Vice President for Government Relations Shannon Hertzfeld says, quote, "This recent aggressive expensive campaign is a new posture for GMA, one that we think perhaps is not the best representation of the interests of its membership." ADM, the nation's largest ethanol producer and a major food producer, maintains the world can have ample food and fuel from plants such as corn. And South Korea says it will indefinitely delay resumption of U.S. beef imports after 60,000 people protested over the weekend, resulting in hundreds of arrests. Agriculture Ministry officials in Seoul say final quarantine rules to allow U.S. beef shipments to resume are now delayed. Colin Woodall is a spokesperson with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
There's a lot of people getting frustrated. We talked about the value of this market to American cattlemen. It's about $30 a head in today's market. Every penny counts, so we need this pretty badly. And we're in a situation where we're just trying to overcome a lot of misinformation in Korea. You know, they are making such claims that even we here in the United States don't eat U.S. beef, and that if this thing does go through, we're going to be doing nothing but sending bad beef over to them.
South Korea President Lee Myung-bak's popularity rating has plummeted over the beef issue. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The National Agricultural Statistics Service reports that 95% of the corn crop is planted, compared with 88% last week and the five-year rolling average of 98%. 74% of the corn crop has emerged, compared with 52% last week and the five-year rolling average of 89%. 63% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Soybean plantings are now at 69% complete, compared with 52% a week ago and the five-year rolling average of 81%. 32% of the soybean crop has emerged, compared with 12% last week and the five-year average of 55%.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 1st. Near-normal temperatures were welcome last week. However, the above-normal precipitation was not. Statewide rainfall averaged just over 2 inches, which was 1 inch above normal, allowing for only 3.1 days suitable for field work. This scenario once again delayed the completion of corn planting and most replanting efforts. Statewide topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 1% short, 53% adequate, and 45% surplus. The wettest topsoil ratings were reported again for the third straight week in the Southwest Crop Reporting District at 86% surplus. Corn planting advanced by only 5 percentage points last week and is currently at 92%, trailing last year's 100% and the five-year average of 98%. 76% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 98% 1 year ago and 95% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn emergence was the Eastern Crop Reporting District at 94%. Soybean planting advanced to 57% complete. This compares to 95% 1 year ago and 86% for the five-year average. 20% of the crop was reported emerged, well behind the 80% last year and 66% five-year average. Leading the state in soybean emergence was the Eastern Crop Reporting District at 40%. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 26% filled, compared with 81% last year and 76% for the five-year average. 3% of the crop was reported turning yellow, compared with 53% 1 year ago and 39% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was rated 2% very poor, 8% poor, 31% fair, 51% good, and 8% excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa advanced to 33% complete, but well behind the 67% pace last year and 63% five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Joining us now with our weekly look at energies is Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Harry.
Good afternoon.
As I look at my screen, I see a lot of red there, except in natural gas, which is trading higher. Why is that today?
Well, natural gas has been real strong here for the past several weeks. And like you say, today again, it was strong. In fact, we're making multi-month highs here, and the natural gas market is looking at the electric generation demand, especially, Dave, in the southern half of the U.S., and in fact, some places down there are going to be very warm here in the coming week. And this natural gas use for electricity generation has increased dramatically in the past few years as a number of these plants have changed over and can use natural gas when it's beneficial price-wise. And so they're watching this here forecast for the real hot weather. And of course, it's just the beginning of the summer. That's what's interesting. The other thing in natural gas, though, the funds, the large commodity funds, the big funds that we hear about, are actually net short natural gas by about, I think in the latest report, was about 50,000 contracts. We always hear about that they're long these other markets like in heating oil and gasoline and crude oil. But in natural gas, they've actually played it net short. And I think finally those funds are realizing that, hey, this isn't working, and they're buying back some of those short positions they have on the books.
So short covering there. And I also wonder whether or not speculators that had been trading crude oil might be looking at natural gas as a place to jump in, given the CFTC push to put more transparency in the crude oil market.
Well, that very well could be. You have a very good point there. And in fact, when you look at the difference between crude oil and natural gas, crude oil tends to trade at about 8 times natural gas, just in raw price versus raw price. And here recently, crude oil has been trading as high as about 12 times, and again, this is in the futures market, about 12 times the price of natural gas. So either crude was overpriced, or natural gas was underpriced, or a combination of both. And I think what we're seeing here today is starting to be a correction even in that spread, just the difference between the two, because we had the crude oil closing sharply lower, down $3.45 on the nervousness over the CFTC action and some corrective type action there. But you still see the natural gas closing 25 cents higher.
In fact, crude oil at its lowest level since about May 16th or thereabouts, and breaking some technical levels, finishing under its 20-day moving average today. Are you looking for crude oil to continue to sort of move sideways to lower in the short term?
I think so. I think the near-term support has been broken there in the 125 to 127 level. And like you say, we closed under that today, and it closes the most important part of the day where it actually closes out. And the crude oil today actually settled here at 124.31, and that sure seems to open the door for further downside in crude that may take it all the way down to around the 120 level before we start seeing some of the buyers step back into it. Now, when you look at a longer-term chart, we still have overall higher highs and higher lows. Let's say if you look at a weekly chart or something. So we still have a big bull market. It's just that we didn't have much of a correction from about 120 to 135.
And go ahead and let me ask you this. Do you keep track of Fibonacci speed lines and that kind of thing?
I don't do a lot on that. We keep a lot of the moving averages, though. You talked about the moving averages. We do a lot with moving averages. We do some with point and figure, and we do a lot with overbought, oversold indicators.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Harry Cooney, who is with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, and he joins us the first Tuesday of every month to talk about the energy markets. It's National Chocolate Macaroon Day. Like many foods, the origins of the macaroon are murky, but some historians trace it back to an Italian monastery. The pastry became popular in France in the 18th century. It's also St. Morad's Day, patron of wine growers and winemakers. He founded the Monastery of St. Christopher and is said to have lived the whole of each Lent on a single bunch of grapes. On this day in agricultural history, in 1539, Hernando de Soto claimed Florida for Spain. He landed 9 ships, 620 men, and 220 horses at Charlotte Harbor, Florida. In 1841, Nicholas Francis Aperit died. He was inventor of the canning process, preserving food by sealing it in sterilized containers. He published the results of 14 years of research in 1810 and received a 12,000 franc award from French government officials for his efforts. And in 1844, Wilbur Atwater was born. An American scientist, Atwater developed agricultural chemistry. He received a Ph.D. from Yale in 1869 for his studies on the chemical composition of corn, and he established the first agricultural experimental station in the U.S. in 1875. And that's this day in agricultural history. And you're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It's been a very active week across the corn belt, soybean belt. What's the latest on what we're going to expect in the next day or two?
Oh, we're going to have more action. Severe thunderstorms will likely erupt again in northeastern Missouri, maybe southeastern Iowa, push across portions of central and southern Illinois and central and southern Indiana tonight. There's already some strong to severe storms in southern Indiana pushing towards southwest Ohio and northern Kentucky. So we've had a few rounds. Another is yet to develop, but will be doing so. We'll start to see the initiation of this in a couple of hours, and everybody listening right now should pay close attention to the weather because some storms could produce tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds. We will then see the area shifting a bit northward over the next couple of days, another threat tomorrow. And then mainly dry weather will come in to at least most of Illinois and Indiana as we go through the daytime hours on Thursday into at least the first half of Friday. That'll be followed by more action Friday night into early Saturday.
And temperatures going to be warming, a warming trend there?
Yeah, we're going to stay warm. Even with our rain-cooled air, we only dropped into the upper 60s today, and that's where the dew point temperatures are. So it's muggy out there. We're going to stay warm for at least the next 10 days and probably beyond. But making a forecast for the next 10 days, it looks warm. And in the first half, at least wet. There are some signs that we will turn a bit drier next week. But with all the water in the fields, there's still going to be that fuel for any little disturbance coming across to produce scattered showers and thunderstorms. So I don't see a quick dry down here at all.
So some net drying, and I suppose that might be beneficial to some crops. However, for those people who still need to do planting, and I'm thinking soybeans here especially, mm-hmm. it's going to be pretty tough to get in the fields over the next week or so.
It will be because we've had a lot of rain. A lot of places in the last 24 hours getting 2 to 4 inches of rain, and that on top of rain over the weekend and prior to that. So we're running moisture surpluses in many areas, and the concern right now is flooding and the runoff, and it's going to take a while to dry things down.
One of the questions that I've been asking all of our meteorologists on the Closing Market Report the last week or so is, in their research, is there anything that they're seeing that suggests we're going to see a change in trend where it'll be more seasonably normal with rain and temperature?
Well, the temperature trend, we've seen an abrupt change. We're right in that where we were cooler than average for a while. Now we're going warm, and I see that continuing. I do think that we're going to, as we go into the second half of June, get out of the excessive rainfall. But it would have to be a dramatic pattern switch to go completely dry, because we do have a lot of moisture out there for any little weather systems even to work with. So I think we'll start to trend a bit drier, but I don't see the big change coming soon.
Thanks very much, Ed.
You're welcome.
AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, and that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to willag.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.